And Father God, we give you today all of that praise. We thank you that, God, that you came here in such a humble way to come to a place of humility, to come to a place that's full of sin. And that, God, that you came and died for those sins and raised. We thank you that we have victory over sin today because of what you did for us, for you coming and being Emmanuel to be with us. We love you and we thank you, Father, that we can come this time of year to come and celebrate and to honor and to cherish and to adore our newborn King. And we just take this service, Lord. We offer it to you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. I've given a few people a hug today. And I don't want you to think that I got an early Christmas present of cologne. It's a big patch on the back of my back that is... It smells like Bengay or something like that. It's not good. It really not. So if you're wondering, man, he kind of stinks. It kind of smells. That's what that is. So I'll give you handshakes instead of a hug and stuff. It's great to see you guys. I'm taking another break from Acts to be able to share a message with you this morning that I hope that would truly just bless your heart. The whole idea of expecting the Lord to do what He says He's going to do is on my heart this past week. Have you ever prayed about something and wondered in the back of your mind, is He listening to me? Does He care about me? Is what I'm praying something He would even consider answering? Those were some of the things that were kind of going through my mind this past week, was thinking about, is He listening to me? Does He care about me? Is what I'm praying something that He would even consider answering? And oftentimes when we read the Christmas story, we easily can lose sight of that. When we come to this time of year, when we get busy doing so many things, we sometimes can lose sight that He actually has a plan. That nothing in this world for Him catches Him off guard. Nothing is by chance. Nothing surprises Him. He's never worried about anything. And we learned from Scripture last week that He does something. The Hebrew word, radaf, that He chases after us. From the very beginning of time of Genesis, He had a plan. A perfect plan where He is chasing after us so that way we're never, ever alone. But what I'm learning is that as a Christian, I need to have an expected heart from the great fulfiller of His promises. There's times I look back in my life and I try to think about, am I really a man of my word? Are you a woman of your word? Am I a man of my own word? One of the things that came back is thinking about, is God a man of His own words? Is He a man that keeps His promises? Do I keep my promises? Sometimes it's hard when you make promises to your kids or you make promises to friends or your spouse and to try to fulfill those promises. And it might have been a promise that you made a long time ago, and maybe some of these people are still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. There's promises that we make, and when we look at the Lord God Almighty, He is a man of His word. He is a man that is a fulfiller of His promises. So when I was writing this, I was amazed to see that there are hundreds of promises that were made by God and through His people in His name that would be fulfilled. In the Old Testament, I want you to think about this. In the Old Testament, if I was just to take eight prophecies 8 promises, just 8, and there's over 200. If I was just to take 8 promises, 8 prophecies that Jesus would fulfill, a guy by the name of Peter Stoner, a famous mathematician, said this: the odds of a person fulfilling 8 prophecies would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, I had to look that up, how much that was, because it seemed like a lot. That was that. The answer to that is 100 quadrillion. 8 prophecies. To be able to fulfill 8 prophecies. And Jesus and people fulfilled way more than that. Just 8 is 100 quadrillion is the odds. Virtually impossible. It would be virtually impossible. This is the Almighty God that we are honoring and celebrating today. But see, when we have an expected heart, we know that Jesus' word is always true. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, keep in mind that the Lord your God is the only God. He is a faithful God who keeps his promises and is merciful to the thousands of generations of those who love him and obey his commands. You see that? He's the keeper of promises and is merciful to the thousands of generations to come. Matthew 19:26, my all-time favorite verse, is with man, that is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. It's my favorite verse. It's what gives me hope every single day, knowing that the things that I'm expecting, the things that I hope for, the how I pray and what I pray about, I realize in my own strength, in my own way, that it may be impossible. It may be literally 100 quadrillion, but to God, it's nothing. He's been working out a plan. He's got it all figured out. And to put it all in perspective, to have an expected heart, we need to understand that, we need to understand this verse of Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways much, 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 much higher than your ways. And my thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. And I think about the voice of God being silent literally for 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Israelites are waiting on the Word of God to show up. Expecting, looking, searching, seeking, waiting to hear from God. But many will miss out on the Messiah because their thoughts were not His thoughts. And their ways were not His ways. The way He was planning on coming. That's why they missed out. They were looking for something much, much grander. And sometimes when we look and we have expected hearts, we're looking for the grand things. We're looking for the big things. And we miss out on sometimes the most humble and simple ways that God works in our lives. You try creating a rainbow. You try to bring the sun out every day. We worship an unbelievable God. So many of the Jews would miss the promised Messiah. So many Gentiles failed to believe that He was the great I Am. So many people, while He was living His life, going for 33 years and living His life and serving and saying that I am the great I Am. And people didn't believe. His own brother had doubts. Doubting Thomas, of course, he had doubts. Is it easier to believe then or is it easier to believe now? Which would be harder to do? They struggled back then like people are struggling now. Are we missing out on the true Messiah? Are we looking for grander things? Are we looking for other things and we're missing out on the whole idea? 2,000 years, people are still missing the mark of the Messiah. Here are just a few of my favorite Old Testament prophecies. I call them promises that God made of the coming Christ. Number one, Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you, out of Bethlehem, out of you, will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, the ancient times." Remember, the wise men that came to Israel was trying to find Jesus, the newborn king of the Jews, and King Herod was asking, "Where is he? Where is the newborn king going to be?" Because obviously he didn't want to have any competition. Where is this king going to be? And so they had to go back. They had to check the manuscripts. They had to look back at Micah. They had to look back at the old, the ancients, and find that it was going to be in Bethlehem. This prophecy, this promise says it was going to be in Bethlehem. Guys, let me tell you something. Jesus could have came anywhere. But he came exactly where God said he was going to come. 5 billion places he could have gone, and he came to the exact place that God said he was going to be. Another prophecy, Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God with us. We were never meant to be alone. It was a promise from our Creator that he would be with us and never forsake us. From the beginning of time, he wanted to have perfect fellowship with us. It was our mistake, it was our sin that got in the way, that was breaking that perfect fellowship up. But he says, "I have a way." Then the only way. And the truth is that if you find Christ, then you will have life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can go to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And what's remarkable is that Christ is marked by two holy promises. It's like bookends. Two holy promises. He promises it's going to come through a virgin womb. And he promises it's going to come through an empty tomb. You cannot come into this world like he did. And you cannot leave this world like he did. This is why Jesus Christ is not like any other God. He came into this world like no other, and he left this world like no other. And the third prophecy, Malachi 3:1 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, and says the Lord of the hosts." And as I said, 400 years, the Old Testament prophet of Malachi now coming into the New Testament, John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus who we're talking about. God was silent for 400 years, but let me tell you something. Even though he was silent, it doesn't mean that he stopped working. God was actively working out his plan. And even though at times you may feel like God is silent when you pray, and maybe things that you've been praying for with that expected heart, you're wondering, why isn't anything happening right now in my life? What's going on? Is he actively listening? Is he actively working? Should I really actually put this stock into the Lord? Is he really actually listening to me? And oftentimes we feel God is silent in our prayers. Right now in your life, do you have an expected heart? Do you believe this? I like what Jan sent me. She sent me an email this week. It was really cool. Just kind of a great little reminder. When all these people were praying for rain out at this farm, growing crops, and they needed it to rain. It's been a big drought. And so they all come to the church, and the pastor is praying, and they're all praying and praying. But the only thing is, only one girl showed up, little girl showed up with an umbrella. What a great illustration of having an expected heart. She expected something to happen. She expected like a childlike faith, child of a faith of a mustard seed that can move mountains. And are we praying with an expected heart? What are you praying for? What's on your heart? Right now, what is on your heart that God, that you're wanting God to answer in your life? I want you to think about it. I'm not a pastor like you see some people on TV about praying this prosperity and get rich and God's going to bless you with all this money and things that God's listed. I'm not that kind of pastor. You may be disappointed, but I'm not. You know who are. I don't want to mention names. But I am a pastor that wants to pray like James did, that wants to pray like John did, that wants to pray like Jabez did. I want to be that kind of guy. Andrew Murray, a South African writer and missionary from the early 1900s, wrote this: "We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with force that can move the heavenly world and bring its power down to earth." If I'm honest with you, sometimes I think my prayer life was better when I first became a Christian back in 1989 and 90. Because when I became a Christian, for some apparent reason, I just did not doubt. I believed that God was going to answer prayers. I truly actually had faith that every time I prayed, I believed that God was going to answer those prayers. And so I continued to pray. And I never wanted to doubt God. I believed that every time I prayed that God would answer me. And maybe that got me to where I want to be now in my life, and maybe where I want to be later on. But I have to be honest with you. Sometimes even ashamed to admit, I get a little shaky with my faith. Do you? Doubt creeps in. Reality builds up. My will takes over. I still remember sitting down at Texas Tech one night. I was by myself. I was sitting down, and I had something on my heart I was really, really praying for. And it was really jacking me up. I was at Texas Tech. It was in 1990, and I really, really, truly wanted God to answer a prayer in the 90s. And I sat there, and I said, "God, I have no idea if you see me. I have no idea if you're listening to me. But I know this. If you hear my prayers, I want you to blow this cap off my head." And literally, within seconds, I was chasing after this hat, laughing. This is my reminder that God answers prayers. I don't know. Maybe it was just a gust of wind. But it changed my life. I believed. I didn't doubt that it was actually him. Because that's what I prayed for. I want to be that kind of believer all the time, though. I want to have an expected heart. I want to have faith to be built on the foundation of His promises. I want to have faith that changes countries. I want to have faith that will expand His kingdom. I want to be able to have faith that I know, that I know, that I know that when He actually fulfills those prayers, that I'm not going to doubt that it was actually Him. I'm not. I want to believe if that's what I prayed for, then it was Him. It wasn't a coincidence. No, it was Him that showed up. It was Him that did the impossible. It was Him that was the 100 quadrillion. He was the one that makes the things happen. He's the one that had the perfect plan. I don't want to doubt when He shows up that it was anything else but Him. I never want to doubt that. And the great news is that I found out that I was not alone. Maybe you're like me at times. Maybe sometimes we're all like this particular person in the story, in the Christmas story. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 1, 5 through 25. I want to read this really fast. Luke chapter 1, one of the greatest sounds in the whole entire world is hearing the turning of pages. It's like Christmas music to the Lord. It's opening up His Word and turning. And depending on what type of version of the Bible you have, you may end up hearing Him as Zechariah, or you may hear Zacharias in terms of the Greek or the Hebrew, the King James or the NIV or what translation. So whatever, we're still talking about the same person. Okay? Luke 1, 5 through 25. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And the life was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were born both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. I mean, these two people were living a godly life. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. This means that they were old. So it was that while he was serving as a priest, as a holy one of God, before God, in the order of the division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And you had this huge crowd that didn't get the opportunity to go in, just one. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Try to not read that too fast. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fell, and fear fell upon him. It's usually what happens. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." You mean the one I've been praying for all these years? Your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many to the children of Israel, to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of just, and to be ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in the years." Here's your question, God. Here's my doubt, God. And the angel answered and said to him, "Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias. They were still outside waiting for him. It didn't take forever to go in there and to light the candles and the incense. But something was taking place, and everybody was waiting upon him to come out. And marveled, and he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, the time when he was supposed to speak, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, probably because he looked like a ghost himself. He was probably white. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as these days of the service was completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she said, and held herself for 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. It's an unbelievable story here for Zechariah. Getting the opportunity to enter the presence of the Lord, allowing him the opportunity to go into the Holy of Holies. He was the priest. He was the highest person you could be. This guy had the opportunity, the greatest once-in-a-lifetime event for any single priest. This is it. This is your one shot. There was never going to be another shot. This is a one-time event. For any priest that followed in obedience to the Lord, this was like the best thing that ever could have ever happened. I was trying to think back, and I even asked some of our friends here in the church, and I was thinking about what would be my greatest event. And I love Disney World. I don't get to go like my brother does 40 times a year, but I love it. But having the opportunity to get the keys to go into the castle of Disney World, to stay in a private stay up in the castle by myself with my family, that would be one of my greatest all-time events. And I asked some others. I texted Jennifer Fitzgerald, and I asked her, what would be the greatest event for you? And hers was going to the Super Bowl and for them winning the Super Bowl. Now, I dated it back a while because it's going to be a while again, but... And then I talked to Leslie Shields a little bit about what hers, and then she made me feel kind of dumb because all of hers was like really, really like good and serious and stuff, like really holy. And so I tried to take the less of the good ones and to put me almost at the same level as her. But hers was seeing the most beautiful creations God has ever made. So I found this one, and this is one of my favorite ones. This is in Hawaii, where my brother goes 40 times a And then I was, you know, I thought, well, I probably should talk to my wife because, you know, it'd be good to talk to my wife. And I was thinking, you know, what is she going to have? And this is why I love my wife. This is why we've been married for 17 years. Yesterday, by the way. Yeah. And Jan as well. Jan was yesterday too. And Terry. Yeah. Sorry for that commercial. And Jamie said, you know, hers, I said, anything, you pick anything you want. And hers was going to, and I had to like, okay, you're going to have to write this out for me, okay? Hers was going to New York City Fashion Week, the Project Runway show, and sitting with Tim Gunn and Jennifer Aniston as a judge. I didn't even understand what she said. But for some, it could be getting to see your dad for the first time. You'll see.
Right there. Let's get it out of the way.
I walked all day at night to find you.
You look like you came from North Pole.
Sam must have called you.
Oh, yeah, sure. There you go. Just got out the cell phone.
Go on with what?
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to it?
A song? Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song. And I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now. And guess what? I love you!
Oh, that was weird.
I love that movie. That movie will get you in the Christmas spirit. Yeah. This is one of the greatest honors that Zacharias could have ever received. We see God at work. We see God's providence. We see his hand allowing the lot to fall upon him at the exact same time, at the exact same place, being able to do something that no one else at that time, only two group, I mean, for 2 weeks, this group is going to be able to have anything to do during that whole entire year with the actual temple. And this lot is going to fall on him. A multitude of people are praying outside. But he's in the inside. Not just in the inside, but he's in the Holy of Holies. What's there? The Ark of the Covenant, the jar of manna, 10 commandments, the rod of Aaron. This, to be able to witness that alone would have been extraordinary. But to be able to be with the angel of God in the midst of that, it doesn't get any better than this. I can only imagine what his thoughts were. I can only imagine what he was thinking. He was fearful. I would have been fearful. Maybe even tinkled a little bit. Seriously, you would have too. Passed out. I don't know what I would have done in no particular of those orders. I would have done something. I don't know what I would have done, but all I know is that these people were waiting outside. He was still inside, and he was mesmerized of what was actually happening. His prayers are being answered. This would be the greatest event for this man to be able to witness. And for the fact that he's telling him, you're going to have a son, what you have been praying for. It's not like you have just been praying every day to me. I'm going back to the first prayer you had because of your obedience, because of your expectant heart. You have been praying for this one thing. But see, I've been actively working, but I've been working out my plan. My perfect way. Because see, in Israel, it was a dark time for the people, especially for married couples. They had to live with the shame of not having a child. This was huge in that custom. If you didn't have a child, if you weren't married by a certain age, it would have been a crushing blow. It would have been the source of gossip. People would be talking about you, but this priest was so obedient. Zacharias was so obedient. Elizabeth was so faithful. Even the Jewish teachers, the rabbis, said there's 7 types of people that would be kicked out, excommunicated out of the church. And you know what it is? The top of the list. A Jew who has no wife, or a Jew who has a wife but has no child, could kick you out of the church. And here, the lot falls on Zacharias. Enter into my presence. This was a huge event. There's 20,000 priests in Israel during this time. 24 divisions. And only 750 priests out of this particular division. And he was going into the temple to do the incense. I love the symbolism for that because Psalms 141:2 says, may my prayer be counted as incense before you. The lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. You know what this symbol is? Is when this incense rises up to the throne of grace. It's our reminder, so is our prayers. Our prayers, every time you pray, this is the reminder, is the incense of your prayers are going to the throne of grace. He's going to see it. He's going to hear it. Everett, I love that. Do that again. He did it with me. Don't ever forget that. Every time you pray, that's what it's doing. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. For years, him and his wife had prayed over and over for this child. Truly have an expectant heart and a hopeful heart. And guess what? Malachi 3:1. The prophecy was ready to go. The angel of the Lord arrived with good tidings, with answers to the prayers. Have you prayed for something and then it showed up and then you might have doubted that it was actually the Lord that provided? Did we forget? Maybe there's things that we've been praying for that we forgot that we even prayed for, that was lifted up to the throne of grace, and he says, I haven't forgotten about it. I've never forgotten about it. It must have been important to you at that time. I have still been working actively out your prayers. Because you had an expectant heart, because your faith, because of your obedience. Remember when I asked at the very beginning of this message, is he listening to me? Does he care about me? Is what I'm praying something he would even consider answering? As a priest, as a chosen one, how should I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in the years. Angel Gabriel kind of went Robert De Niro on him. Are you talking to me? Are you really talking to me? Do you know who I am? I was sent from God Almighty. From the throne that you pray to, I came here to see you. I saw myself in this story. And I know I have moments like this where not believing in the work of God or doubting my prayers that they would get answered or I would diminish his plans. Because it was not the way that I expected. My ways are better than his ways. As I close, I want Christmas for all of us to look at God's message with a new Christmas faith, with an expected heart. Every time you pray, every time you come to church, every time you go to the Lord in prayer, don't just go through the motions like Zacharias. Because that's exactly what he did. He went through the motions spiritually. As a priest, as a holy one that's been obedient to God, he went through the motions. How oftentimes in our own life that we just go through the motions through our prayers, or we go through the motions when we're here at church. Don't let Christmas just go through the motions. Don't let your spiritual life just go through the motions. It's easy to do. It's easy to just go through the motions spiritually. Zacharias prayed and he believed and God delivered. And when he came through, he doubted. And God judged him for it. And God judged him for it. He was silenced for a long time. 59 through 66 says this. So it was on the eighth day that he came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of the father Zacharias. Let me say that again. And they would have called him by the name of the father, Zacharias, because that's what you do in your customs at that time. You name your firstborn son after the father. And his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father. Why? Because he still couldn't talk. What he would have called him. And 63 says, and he said for a writing, he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, his name is John. His name is John. You know what John means? God is gracious. Yahweh is gracious. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. And then fear came upon who dwelt among them, and all these were saying and discussed throughout the whole hill and in Judea. And all those who had heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, with John the Baptist. It was when he followed in obedience. It was when he followed in faith. It's when he said, I'm going to put this down on stone. This is what God said, and I'm going to do it. Because guess what? Zechariah was a man of his promise. Elizabeth was a woman of her promise to God. Are you a man and a woman that keeps your word? You know what John the Baptist's mom and dad's name is? Zechariah. His name means the Lord remembers. Elizabeth's name, the promise of God. When you put those two together, God remembers his promise. Let's pray. And we thank you, Lord, that we are reminded today that you are one that always fulfills your promise. That not only are you the Word of God, but God, you are true to your Word. And that you expect us to be obedient, and you expect us to have expected hearts. You expect us to know that you are the fulfiller and the deliverer of your word. That you are the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to you except through you. No one can come to the Father. And so, Lord, with this time right now, I pray that, God, if there is anyone here that maybe has an expected heart, that has a prayer that's on their hearts, I pray that they will never forget that their prayers are being sifted and lifted to the throne of your grace, and that you hear all things, that we're not here by ourselves, and we're not here wondering if you're listening, but we are faithfully expecting that, God, that you deliver. It may not always be the way we expect, because we know that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we take this time, Lord, with expected hearts, as we pray together. You said, when two or more are gathered in your name, here you are amongst us. This is your time. This is Christmas. Today we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today we worship Emmanuel, God with us. And I pray that, Father, that each one of us would find you today in their own way with expected hearts. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you will stand for a time of invitation, please.